Go Strategic is pleased to present the Worldview Series. This lesson is entitled The Nature of Man by Catherine Gallagher. In this session, we are going to be talking about the nature of man. The goal of this lesson is for us to understand how what we believe about the nature of man will affect every aspect of our lives, including our identity, our relationships, our lifestyle, and our actions. So, the nature of man, that is, what is mankind like? What do we believe about mankind, about people? What do we believe they are like? Big questions we want to ask. Now, of course, many of us can give stories of really great people that we know and awful people that we know and everything in between, right? So we all have experiences, of course, with dealing with people. But what we're talking about today is really underneath all of that, what is really there? Underneath who those people are, underneath our experiences with people. Because again, all these ideas interconnect. And so it is not just what we believe about a particular person, but really what we believe about mankind, which often informs our behavior, our bias, how we think, how we look at people, how we perceive life. So the nature of man. What we believe about the nature of man affects all the areas of our life. Now, the first question that we need to ask, of course, is mankind basically good or basically bad or some of both? Is mankind fallen? In Christian terms, we would use that phrase. Is mankind fallen or is he naturally good? That is one of the biggest questions, of course, that you will see often brought up today in today's culture when we are arguing around issues of policy and different issues of justice, all those different things often come back to this idea. Is man basically good or basically bad? Is he fallen? Does he need a savior? All those big questions, right? We believe as Christians, of course, that mankind is fallen. And not only are we fallen, but we are in need of transformation. We are not meant to stay fallen. God wants to redeem. God wants to restore. And we're in need of transformation. That, of course, is the Christian belief. Another question we need to ask, again, beyond is man good or bad, is does man have a purpose or a design? How are we made to live? What are we called to do? What are we called to live for? All these big questions. Do we have a design? Does our design point to our destiny? Should our design, how we are, give us indicators of maybe what God has for us? Who defines our value? If there is a God, does he define our value? Of course, if there is not a God, if we don't believe there's a God, or we believe there's a God that's not very involved, then where do we as mankind get our value from? In that case, of course, it becomes man decides our value. That's where we get into the issues around such hot topics as abortion, euthanasia. Those kinds of big issues actually come down to who defines the value of life. If you don't believe there's a God or you believe he's uninvolved, then it becomes mankind subjectively will define the value of life and what it means and whether it's a value or not. So all these big questions apply to, again, not just how do we feel about who people are, but they actually play out in our public policy, in our lifestyles, in what we deem good and not good. Human nature, of course, we know, is revealed both within us and around us. Human nature is revealed throughout history, and also it's revealed in whatever you did last night. Human nature comes out. And again, we have to ask those questions. Well, what is that human nature? Why is it like that? And where does that behavior come from? Ultimately, what belief, again, do we have about who man is, who people are, and how they operate? Now, we believe, I believe, that man is made in the image of God. In the Psalms, we see that beautiful scripture that says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. We see also in Genesis that God made mankind in his own image. The fact is, because we were made in his image, we cannot truly know ourselves if we do not know God. I'm going to say that again. We cannot truly know ourselves if we do not know God.
because we were made in his image, and he is a part of who we are. That is, again, a very humbling fact when we think about it, and a very encouraging and solidifying fact that we can rest in when we wrestle with the issues of life. Something we can go back to, the reality of who God has made us and that he cares enough to want to be reflected in us and through us. We are spiritual beings, right? We are creative. Again, if we're reflecting God as mankind, God's creative, we're creative. We're actually immortal too, right? Our spirits will go into eternity. We're immortal in that way, that we will continue on through into eternity in the afterlife, however we want to use that phrase. And as you can see, when we understand these attributes of what mankind is like, you can begin to see also how these attributes in man can be distorted in other areas and other religions. So obviously certain pieces of what I just shared, our creativity, our spirituality, you can see how those might be distorted and used in other religions. You see that there's a portion of truth there, but it's being distorted because they're not getting the full picture. So you'll see that often if you look in certain Eastern religions, they will take a portion of what we are, and then it will fit into that mold, but it doesn't take everything that we are, right? And then there's other religions that will take this piece, well, mankind is like this, but then again, it's not the whole truth. We need the whole truth of who we are through the lens of the scriptures and through the reflection of who God is fully in us as human beings. Because we are fallen, though, we are now corrupt. So again, we are made in God's image, and we have all those amazing qualities. And yet at the same time, we also house a fallen heart, and we are fallen beings who have now been corrupted. Of course, we know that scripture in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are enslaved to sin. And naturally, we try to reason and twist and contort things to work to justify our sin. That's the nature of man that we believe. We naturally would try to make things work for what we want because we are fallen and we want what we want. We are driven by the fleshly desires. And even again, as Christians, we can find that we struggle with this. You may love the Lord very much, but you still may be struggling with certain sins, certain thoughts, certain patterns that we need to continually work to redeem and restore. We are in need of a savior. We believe that. We are in need of his authority. We are in need of being renewed. We are in need of transformation. In the scripture, it talks about in Judges how in those days Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And don't we certainly see that for many people today and throughout history, that they really decided if decided that mankind is basically good, we can trust ourselves, follow your heart, then we do what is right in our own eyes. And that's often what many people do. And unfortunately, sometimes even as Christians, we can fall into that category if we are not fully submitting all of our life to God. But the reality is God has given us boundaries, different reasons, different principles that are there actually to protect us and direct us. So again, if we believe God is alive, involved, meant to be in our life, we recognize that we as human beings are fallen, then we need to look to him for guidance. If we are not sure what we think about God and we believe that mankind is basically good, then we, of course, go to ourselves for guidance. This becomes a very subjective way of living, which is where, again, you have the scripture talking about people doing whatever they thought was right in their own eyes. And of course, we see that all the time, don't we? Both when we make the mistake ourselves of doing it and certainly in our culture. Other attributes of humanity that are important to look at when we look at the nature of man. We can understand quite a bit about what mankind is like also through the tools of psychology. Technology reveals a bit about who mankind is. Certainly philosophy, different attributes that way we can see of what mankind is really like and how we function. Again, those things are not necessarily bad. They are ways that God can reveal to us attributes of ourselves that we can learn that all ultimately point back to Him. Man was designed to work with God. He asks us to join His yoke. He wants us to work alongside Him, not to be independent, but to be submitted and working with Him. Mankind is also a tripart being. We are body, soul, and spirit. So it is not just about God saving our spiritual souls, but also He cares about our bodies. We are fully that way. We know God cares so much about bodies and mankind because Jesus literally came in the form of a man. I think that points very clearly to us that humanity, our bodies matter to God. If it was so important for Jesus to physically manifest in a physical body, wouldn't that again tell us, okay, God actually probably cares about our bodies and our bodies matter and they're part of who we are and they're part of our design. So it's not just about our spiritual hope and our souls and all those things, but it's also our body. They're all connected. If you think what I mentioned in the earlier session about how our brains literally wire a certain way based on our beliefs, you can see how our physical bodies actually come into play in our spiritual practice. So we need to remember that when we're looking at what is mankind, who are we, how do we live, that we also are talking body, mind, and spirit. The other piece that we need to understand about who man is and what mankind is like and what we're dealing with is the fact is we are at war with the enemy. We are in a fallen world, and there are spiritual forces that are trying to work against us. So we have enemies from within, and we have enemies from without. So we have to be aware of that again when we are looking at the reality of mankind. That also helps us remember when we're looking at issues around evangelism, certainly not just pegging someone as a certain thing. Okay, you're this and you're wrong because of da 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 da. But also looking, wow, this person may be struggling with this. This person may be in this place, not just because of their choices, but also because of spiritual warfare. There are things that are going on that happen in the spirit on top of what has happened to people in the natural. So when we remember that mankind is a tripart being that way, it also helps us to relate when we are engaging with others, maybe in points of conflict in particular. So going back to some of the earlier questions that we mentioned again about the nature of man, questions again we would want to be asking, is mankind naturally good, naturally evil, right? Good or bad? Another question would be, are people, mankind, submissive or divine? There are those that believe that you could be fully divine, that man is so good that he's actually divine and you can reach that nirvana state of being an amazing, perfect person without God, right? So questions around that when we look at some of the other Eastern religions and such that point people that way. And again, this is an interesting topic if you're engaging with people trying to get to the heart of the matter, because we do believe on a certain level that we are divine because we have God's spirit in us. But we are not divine in and of ourselves, right? We have God's spirit living in us, but we are not God. Now, I bring that up because often these things can get twisted and contorted. And again, when we think of that earlier example of where maybe you're watching a movie or you've read a book and there's truth in it and you recognize, hey, that's true. That's right. I do get that. But the problem is it's distorted truth because it's not rooted properly back ultimately to what we believe. So a piece of it, you're like, yes, I agree with that. But then you realize, wait, there's a reason I don't fully agree because it's gotten twisted. So that's why, again, we want to come back to these root questions of, well, what do you really mean when you say man is divine? Or what do you really mean when you say mankind can reach this, you know, through meditation or whatever the different things are? And again, that those things aren't necessarily bad. It's just, what are you doing them for and what are they rooted to? So we have to ask those questions. Another question to ask has to do with something called dualism. Dualism is the idea that the natural is basically bad and the spiritual is good. And we don't want to have the sacred and the secular mixed together. Kind of like, it's a bummer that we got to deal with life. Let's just get through life. We're going to be very careful about what we do and say and don't really do a lot with what's going on in this world. It's all about heaven. So the dualist kind of says it's really just about heaven. What we do here doesn't matter that much. And it's kind of dirty anyway, so just deal with it because you have to, but it's not what you're supposed to be involved in. That's what a dualist would tell you. And there's a lot of people who actually still live that way. Those are often the people who are so separated that they don't want to, you know, mix at all with the world on any level. And they think they've decided that certain things are dirty and bad and a necessary evil, they would say. The perspective that I would present to you, and what I think is very clearly seen in the Bible, is that we are, again, united beings, that what we do here does matter, that politics is not necessarily dirty, that sex is not dirty, that what you do at work is not, you just have to work and you're going under toil because of this, because of sin, and your work is a burden. No. All of those things are actually meant to be redeemed and were originally designed by God for us to do and to live and to be. It's just they have to be in their proper context, right? We need to redeem them. So our work matters. God cares what we do for work. Work is not just a necessary evil. Work was there before the fall. Adam had the job of naming the animals, caring for the garden. That was work. It was stewardship. So if we think that everything is so bad on earth, we just got to deal with it so we can just get to heaven, then of course you can imagine that's why we have a lot of the mess that we have with a lot of things not being properly cared for in our lives, in the environment, in politics, and all the different things. Because if as Christians, if we just don't get involved in that because that's dirty business, well, then what happens? It creates a vacuum and other people are going to deal with all that. And of course we see that played out in our culture globally. So it's important to make sure too that we're not living our lives as a dualist, asking again, does God care about what I do in my personal life? Does God care about my job? Does God care about these things? How did he design me as a person to live my life and walk these things out? And again, these are questions that you wouldn't walk up to somebody and be like, are you a dualist? Right? But these are things that we want to start realizing as we're thinking this way, when we're in conversation with people. Many people don't realize that they actually are thinking this way. They've never even had the opportunity to ask these questions. They are often unconscious, right? They're things that we've not really thought through, but we actually believe. So it's important to, again, get ourselves thinking this way, asking those questions and helping people see, because of course, I know in my life, I've seen it in particular, I'll say in the work arena. When people start realizing God cares what I do for my job and that I can be a very strong witness at my job, I don't have to just be in the ministry to impact people around me. That's hugely liberating for people. You don't have to just go be a missionary. It's wonderful. I love missionaries. We need missionaries, but you do not have to go be a missionary in a foreign country to be a missionary in your neighborhood. We are called as Christians, as believers, to always be a missionary. We're called to affect those who are around us. So again, if we get this idea of the separation of the sacred and the secular, or only those in the ministry and the rest of us, that's not how God's designed us to live. We're meant to be a reflection of him and be empowered to be that to others. So as we're asking these questions of ourselves and we're asking these questions of others, it's incredibly exciting and liberating, because you start to unlock destiny. You start to unlock areas in your own life that maybe you didn't realize you had destiny or a gifting or a passion for. And it's certainly exciting when you see it play out with others, when you start asking these questions and they start to see and understand more of how God has called them to live and more of what their identity is in Christ. It's exciting, it's freeing, it's wonderful. Another question we need to ask when we look at the nature of man, how we are as mankind and our goals and our direction. Were we designed to be happy or healthy? That to me is one of the largest issues I see played out, where people get confused because we get so emphasizing, well, God just wants me happy. And if you look at how God designed us, again, if we look at the reality of, if we believe that we are naturally fallen, what we may define as happiness for ourselves that comes naturally to us may in fact be fallen nature, maybe death. And we talked about that in some of the earlier sessions, that we're not just talking about right and wrong. We're talking about life and death. God wants us to live in life, life-giving. So it's not just you're doing this wrong. It's we want you to be in life, in the fullness of life. And if we believe that mankind was designed with a specific destiny, with a specific way and purpose to live, then the only way that we're going to have ultimate health and in turn happiness would be being in alignment with how God has made us. We cannot ultimately be happy, and we certainly cannot ultimately be healthy if we're not in line with how God has made us. So health, what we believe about mankind and health, actually, again, goes back to what do we believe about what God wants and how he made us. So if you see there, even with that question, sometimes we start with the wrong question. The question is not, does God want me happy? You know, or the question is not, doesn't God just want me happy and God loves me so much just the way I am? And yes, God does love you the way you are, but he doesn't necessarily want you to stay that way. God wants us to come into the fullness of who he's created us to be. And again, that goes back to we have to recognize that we are fallen and that we have the need for ongoing transformation. I hate to break it to you, but just because you got saved doesn't mean that all your problems will go away and that you are perfectly mature and that you're this and that. You are perfect before the Lord relative to the judgment seat and relative to eternal life. Yes, that cannot be taken away. But when we look at what it means that we still have to walk out daily here on the earth in person, our destiny, that is going to be an ongoing process. Our spiritual formation needs to continue to grow if we're going to have an impact on the world around us. And I know if you are listening to this series and you are here, that you care about people and the world around us. And this is an essential part to that. We've got to be in a place to be able to effectively continue to work on ourselves to grow and to help others to do the same. So lastly, an example here that maybe we would look at for what does this mean relative to what we believe about the nature of man, with maybe a topic that we would look at in practical terms. One of the ones that I would bring up would be relative to sexuality and relationships. If you believe that man is basically good, then your approach to sex and relationships would be whatever you find and or the culture at the time says is good and okay. Our present culture, of course, believes that however you naturally feel is what you should pursue, and that the only real issue would be consent. As long as people are consenting to this, it is okay. But of course, that is very subjective, right? Subjective being it's very limited perspective. It's only to those involved, and it does not factor in how what a few individuals do actually affects the greater community, which it actually does, but it doesn't factor that in. So that viewpoint of man's basically good, do what's right in his own eyes, you, your sex life, your sexuality, your relationships, that really just is about you. If we take the biblical approach, our sexuality, our relationships are subject to God and have a very clear design. Scripture and science and other things would actually indicate very clearly, this is how we're designed. This is how these things work. And again, if we look at the idea of health, you're going to be the most healthy living in this way, in your relationships, in your sexuality, in your family life, all those things. You can actually see that played out, not only in the scripture, but even historically. And as things are laid out biblically, that this way is going to work. So again, but we look at that of how do we handle our life? Do we go with, this is what seems right to me and it feels okay and I don't think I'm hurting anybody? Or do we go with, we know this is what God says and defines, and if I believe that man really is fallen, I've got to look at my sexuality, my relationships through the lens of fallenness, that just because I feel a certain way doesn't mean I'm supposed to act on it. And what does God say and how did God design it? So we start asking those questions instead of saying, well, this is how I am and doesn't God just love me? Instead, it's yes, God does love you. Let's look to him and see how he designed you to be. So it's two different approaches and different questions that we can ask for us for something like that. And that's when I'll close with a little quick personal story around that. that again, when we're talking about these issues, again, we're talking about life and death. We're not trying to just put right and wrong. When I was younger, I was involved in a group that would go into public schools and speak about abstinence and relationships and sexuality. And so I became known as, you know, the girl that was always talking about sex. And because we'd go into public schools, you know, we would not be talking about God. We would just be talking about the principles behind healthy relationships, sexuality, all of those things. So I had a bit of a reputation for being the speaker around those things. And I basically would always share out of my heart that my desire was to have the healthiest and the best sex and marriage possible. And that was why I was sharing what I was sharing, that I recognized that the way our bodies are designed, how we bond with people, there's a lot of risk involved in getting connected in different relationships that may not end up being long-term. And I gave some of the benefits of why I believed it would serve me best in the long run to wait to have sex until I got married. And I always tried to share the positive sides, not just the negative. Often in Christianity, we get accused of only being all the negative stuff. You know, you don't want to get pregnant. You don't want to get AIDS. You don't want this, or, you know, and we give people all these negative reasons. But the reality is, it's yes, we don't want to worry about some of those negative things. That those are real. Those are genuine. But ultimately, we're certainly not going to win people over with the list of negative don'ts. We want to be in life. We want to be in health. And so my ultimate belief, according to the scriptures, according to my own life experience, is that there's a way that God has designed us to live and work in our relationships that's going to be the healthiest and the most fulfilling. So I was known for sharing those things. I went away to college. I came back after college one summer, was in the grocery store, and had a gentleman who was a friend of mine from high school see me from across the way at the grocery store. And he was a football player in high school, popular, very popular with the ladies. And he saw me across the way. And I thought, we're just going to come over and say hi, and I'll come talk to you. But instead, he decided to yell across a crowded grocery store. And he yelled across to me, "Hey, Peacock," is my maiden name. "Peacock, you still a virgin?" Yelled that across a crowded supermarket. And I'm, you know, very embarrassed looking around. I'm like, okay, run over to him as fast as I can. Be like, hey, yeah, you know. And again, I'm not embarrassed about the fact that I was a virgin, but it was obviously a little embarrassing to have that yelled at you across a crowded grocery store. So I went over to him and I said, "Hey, you know, it's good to see you. Yes, I'm still a virgin." Because of course, he felt fine asking me that question, given how vocal I was in high school sharing on relationships. And he said, "You know what? I think that's really cool. I have known a lot of sex, but I've never known love." And he offered that up to me. This guy is a, you know, not someone you think that's looking for. It was to come from him. It was very shocking. And it was clear that he was very sad about that, that he recognized, you know what I'm doing isn't really fulfilling me or working. That's what I got from it, from the exchange. And I said, I'm really sorry to hear that. And of course, I encouraged him. I said, "Well, you know, it's not too late. You can make some changes now because this works. Ultimately, the truth works. And if we know who we are as people, as mankind, we know the truth of the word, it works." And it was wonderful to be able to say to him, "You know what? It's okay. You can still make some changes and you can still reap the fruit, the positive benefits of choosing to live in a way that God's designed us to live." So with that in mind, the impact of our testimony, how we live our lives, connecting with others, sharing our stories, I want to give us a summary items here to think about again, relative to the nature of man. Mankind was made in the image of God, but he is fallen and in need of a savior. Mankind regularly tries to justify their desired behavior. What comes naturally to us is not always necessarily right or the best or the healthiest for us. With that in mind, we are going to close this session. Thank you.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.